Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Continuing to broadcast from home. By the way, in the background right now, got the TV on. Lakers up 3-2 against the Boston Celtics. Game 7, 2010. We got a few different things we're going to do on the show tonight. Just a quick little rundown. Russell Baxter, Pro Football Guru, he'll hop on at 7. Dave Denholm in the 8 o'clock hour, voice of LAFC. And then our senior shout-out tonight, Nicole Rodriguez from Rosemary Academy. So we'll get a chance to chat with her as well. This is how I want to start off the show. And you heard Mason and Ireland. We're actually going to play it again real quick. Funches, if you don't mind, let's play Dr. Fauci, because we have heard, think about all the different names that we've heard from, whether it's commissioners out there, Roger Goodell, Rob Manfred, Adam Silver. You have all these different commissioners that are trying to figure out when they could potentially get their sport back, or in the NFL, just kind of stay on schedule. Not exactly the most positive news we've got over the last month plus, whatever the case is. I have even gone out of my way to interview Jonathan Givani yesterday, was talking about the Chinese Basketball Association. They're going to be delayed until now. July is what the Chinese government has mandated them to do. So we haven't really got that much positive information from a sports perspective. Here's Dr. Fauci, who I think this is one of the more positive comments we've heard. And this is from the right person to hear it from.
There's a way of doing that. Nobody comes to the stadium. Put them in big hotels, you know, wherever you want to play. Keep them very well surveilled, namely a surveillance, but have them tested like every week and make sure they don't wind up infecting each other or their family, and just let them play the season out. I mean, people say, well, you know, you can't play without spectators. Well, I think you probably get enough buy-in from people who are dying to see a baseball game, particularly me. I'm living in Washington. We have the world champion Washington Nationals. You know, I want to see them play again.
All right, so we know that it's going to take time. You heard actually Eric Garcetti a little bit earlier today. There was some information, I think, that was leaked out, an email obtained by Los Angeles Times. I'm sure you know about this. Your office said the pandemic could stop large gatherings like concerts and sporting events until 2021. So there very well could be no sports, at least in Los Angeles or potentially even the state of California. But to hear Dr. Fauci say, no, there actually could be a solution. There definitely could be a solution to have sports, that baseball idea that's thrown out in Arizona, or maybe, as we won't get any more information, it sounds like in the NBA until May 1st or so. But whatever that information is, maybe that idea in Las Vegas becomes more and more realistic. That's just great to hear. You know, that's just to finally have some type of positive news that could come out from a sports perspective. I've said this before. I'll say it 100 more times. Sports is secondary when it comes to what's going on in the world. But you do know if there's some positive things going on from a sports perspective, then the world, at least, or at least, you know, the United States right now, maybe they got some kind of control on COVID-19. When I heard Dr. Fauci, and that's something that, you know, popped up on everybody's, it was all over ESPN, it was on every news network that you could think of from a sports perspective. What meant most to me is that it came from him. Leaves some type of optimism. Every league is going to try and do everything they possibly can to get sports back. But whether you hear yesterday, Rob Manfred was on Fox Business, and one of the things he emphasized, like all the leagues, they're all going to say it. MLS is saying the same thing. Golf is saying the same thing. NASCAR, UFC. It all comes down to the health of the players. It all comes down to feeling that there's health officials out there that give them the heads up, or gives them the green light that they can push forward on a plan. And when it comes from Dr. Fauci, there's nobody else that you want it to come from. Now, one of the questions that came up, at least it came up yesterday, I read off a tweet, or it came from a Dodgers Nation, and it was Clayton Kershaw. He was on Spectrum Sportsnet, the Dodger channel. And Kershaw expressed that idea for baseball, it's not a perfect idea, and it's not a perfect idea because he's got a family. He has a newborn. It's not ideal to be going in quarantining for 4 months. So I mentioned that yesterday. That's one of the questions that I think will be interesting to watch. If these leagues end up coming up with a plan and the public health officials say, you know what, that plan could potentially work under these circumstances, one of the obstacles could be if all the players are open for that plan. If all the players are down to say, you know what, yes, let's do it. We haven't got a chance to play. There's a ton of fans, millions of fans across the country, worldwide for some of these other sports that just want sports back. They just want their basketball back. They just want their baseball back. That's going to be decisions that down the road, I think if we face those decisions and there's certain players out there that don't want to be a part of whatever structure that is, it's almost one of those situations. It's like, well, we'll just deal with that when we get there. But at least it's a step in the right direction when arguably the most respected person when it comes to COVID-19 is Dr. Fauci, and he had positive news to say in the world of sports. Now, he did say, if you're going to be doing this, you're going to be doing it with no fans. Well, if you don't have fans, I don't think there's anybody right now that cares that there wouldn't be fans for any of these games. I've said this and I'll continue to say it. I'm not crazy about thinking in my mind at just kind of where we are. If you ask me right now, hey, Alan, do you want to, in a month from now, in 30 days from now, in 60 days from now, hey, do you want to go to a concert? I probably am not going. Hey, do you want to go to a sporting event? I'm probably not going. And there's a very good chance that we're not going to get those opportunities anyways. So I think it's, in a sense, it's irrelevant. But when you hear Dr. Fauci say, you're most likely not going to have fans, I don't think it matters at all. Mace?
Oh, am I still live?
You know, I didn't know if you were actually, if you were with us or you weren't with us.
I was talking to my dog, Sophie. I guess I'm kind of here. I agree with you about Fauci, by the way. Stuff means more. Sorry about that.
Hey, Mace, yesterday, remember when I mentioned I brought up Kershaw for a quick second?
Yeah.
I was actually a little surprised how quick you were to say, you know what, if Kershaw doesn't want to be a part of it, it's all good. Let's roll. Do you think there's going to be players that kind of have a stance on this? I have a feeling if they get this close, they're going to find a way to all of them to be united, don't you?
No, what I liken it to is when LeBron, right at the very beginning of this thing, was asked, well, would you play without fans? And LeBron said, absolutely not, would never play without fans, it's never going to happen. And now LeBron has changed his opinion. If Kershaw realizes that the only way we have a baseball season is if everybody goes into, let's call it, the Arizona and Florida bubbles, mm-hmm. I think Kershaw amends his position. And I mean, I was joking. Of course, you know, they got Walker Buehler and David Price and Julio Urias and Alex Wood and Ross Stripling and Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin. They've got, if for some reason Kershaw didn't go along with the plan, the Dodgers are probably the one team that's got enough depth to survive losing their number two starter. But I think in the end, Kershaw would absolutely go along with the plan. It sounds radical to start with, but once it is negotiated through the MLBPA, I think players are going to understand that this is the one way they get a 2020 season.
And no fans, no problem. You know, like you were mentioning with LeBron at this point, I don't think any fan out there, they care about, as long as there's games on, as long as it's done in a safe manner, however they figure it out, you got to take what you can get.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're an NBA player and you want to finish the season, the only way it's going to happen is without fans. And, you know, this is going to continue to evolve. I mean, I mentioned Major League Baseball is investing in a big testing program, testing their players for antibodies to see who may have already been exposed and just didn't get sick, because there are a lot of people who actually did get exposed to the virus but never showed any symptoms. If you have the antibodies – Even if you didn't get sick, that would make you eligible to play. So they're testing everybody, whether they test negative or they've tested for the antibodies or they've already had it. I mean, they're trying to get ahead of the curve on this thing. And ultimately, I think that's what's going to happen in all sports is we're going to see increased testing. Hopefully we get this fast test. I mean, supposedly there's somewhere out there a 5-minute test where you take a test and 5 minutes later you get the results. Right now there's still tests out there where you're being tested and you don't get the results for 2 days. That's just not going to be effective for getting sports back.
Yeah, that's, I think, Abbott Laboratories. That's the one that I was working on, that quick test. So, Mace, you're good with this whole staying on till 8 o'clock with me Monday through Thursday? Did they tell you about that or no?
I'm not at all. I was just waiting to do what we call
the look. I was going
to
leak that on Twitter. That I talked to Tommy, I talked to Amanda, I talked to everybody, and it looks like there's a clause in your contract that has you until 8.
I can assert to you with absolute certainty, and I could actually pull up the contract right now, and I could tweet out a link to my contract to show you that I have no obligation to stay on past 6:30.
Okay, that's it. I'm out. That's completely. I dropped out of that lawsuit as quickly as I could.
Yes. Okay. Good.
All right. You have
when's
your
Curtis,
lookie coming
when's
up.
When's Curtis start?
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock.
Yeah. So we do this thing every night called the lookie, and the lookie is the promo that's going to run tomorrow that says, "Here's what's coming up today on the show," and we call that the lookie. So I've just been waiting around to record the lookie.
Like when Sliwa going to go on break?
And they stuck me on the air with Sliwa. For some reason, which is not in compliance with my contract.
Oh, so good. You never disconnected. Actually, technically, that's not on you. You were just kind of hanging out
there. No, it's on Curtis.
But I could hear you the whole time in the background, but I didn't know if, you know how sometimes I can hear you, but it can't go on air? But when you started talking to your dog, I wasn't sure if you were on air or if you weren't.
Hey, Sophie. Hey, Fredo.
All right, Mason's got his lookie. We gotta go to break here.
Yes.
Mason, thank you. Thank you for
see
jumping
you, man.
On. All right. Sleep with Show. Stay right here, 710 ESPN. Well, I think it was positive news today. I really do. I really do feel Dr. Fauci, some of his comments, they give you hope that we'll have sports back at some point. Maybe it's in the summer under completely, completely different circumstances. That's okay. Sports and life just in general, as we grew accustomed to, it's completely different. Yeah, I was telling this story to Jesse and Curtis yesterday, and I don't know why this kind of just dawned on me and why it clicked, because I think everybody, you know, has the same experience. But in my head yesterday, I'm at the grocery store, you know, I'm sitting in line with my cart, I'm 6 feet behind somebody else, there's lanes the way they have them closed, everybody has a mask on, everybody. And that's something that, you know, I don't know if they're just strongly encouraging to do it or it's mandatory, but when you walk into a grocery store, a bank or something along those lines, they want you to have a mask on. But I'm just sitting there and it just, you know, you're looking around and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Every single person has a mask on. There is no what we took for granted before, and I know this is a small thing in different parts of the world, but just those little things we take for granted, all of a sudden, now you don't have to say anything to anybody. Everybody's thinking the same thing. If somebody sneezes, you're trying to track down where that sneeze came from. You're at the register. It's just a little bit different. No matter what you do, you're trying to sanitize your hands. At the grocery store, when you get there, they spray down your cart. They sanitize it. Like, that's our new norm. So if sports doesn't come back the same way, it could very well never come back the exact same. And what I mean by that is it could just be different. It could maybe it's until a vaccine comes out. But I'm all good with having no fans at any of these games. I'm all good with if it's a shortened baseball season, sounds good. How are you going to make it happen? If it's a completely different structure for the final NBA whatever regular season they would play or a training camp they did or a playoff, sounds good. Whatever they're interested in doing, whatever they think is the best way to get it done, sign me up. And I actually think there's a lot of fans like that as well. So I want to play this real quick. Mike Trout. Jess, what was this on again? I know you mentioned it to me. What was Mike Trout on?
Mike Trout on was, Mike Tirico. It was Lunch Talk on NBC Sports Network.
Okay, let's play this real quick because I think this falls a little bit along the lines to Kershaw's comments that we were talking about yesterday.
I obviously want to play, you know, as fast and fast as we can, get to a city, maybe Arizona. You know, they're flowing out Florida, but you know, being quarantined in a city, you know, I was reading, you know, if we play, you know, a couple months, it'd be difficult, you know, for some guys. You know, people, what are you going to do with family members? My wife is pregnant. What am I going to do when, you know, she goes into labor? Am I going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks after I come back? Because, you know, obviously I can't miss that, you know, birth of our first child. So there's a lot of red flags. There's a lot of questions. Obviously we would have to agree on it as players. But I think the mentality is we want to get back as soon as we can, but obviously it's got to be realistic. You know, we can't be sitting in our hotel rooms and, you know, just going from the field to the hotel room and not being able to do anything. I think that's just, I think that's pretty crazy.
All right. That's Mike Trout right there, with Mike Tirico. So it's, you know, when we say it needs to be realistic, I personally, right. And I think everybody who's tuned in, whether you're in your car right now, or you're listening on the app, I don't know what realistic is. I don't think anybody knows what realistic is. And I think, you know, even for Mike Trout, listen to what he's saying. There was an article, I think it was Bill Shaken had that article last week on the LA Times. He's due to have his first kid, his son, in August. If I'm Mike Trout, I'm going to be there for the birth of my son, right? And we don't know what those circumstances would look like if they did try to play baseball and if it was in one city. Yeah, we know some ideas have been floated out, but nothing's in stone or anything along those lines. So we'll wait to see what those scenarios, how they play out. But these are fair points. You know, this is not a normal predicament or normal situation. We're all quarantined at home, but we can go to the grocery store if we need to. I can go through a drive-through at Starbucks. I mean, there's certain things that, you know, obviously we have the accommodations in doing. We have the ability, I guess, you know, it depends if you're with your family or if you're not with your family. But for those that are in baseball or in the NBA that have families, it is different. It's, yes, they're traveling throughout the season and they're going to different parts of the country. And Trout's got a game against the Baltimore Orioles and then he's got a series against the Red Sox. But then he comes back to Anaheim and he's got time to spend with his family. So there's certainly two different perspectives on it. But I just think we'll let that stuff play out when it comes. I think it's fair that some players have hesitancy on just some of the ideas that are being flown out there or being thrown out there. But I also think at the same time, if we get to a point where this is realistic, that there's a plan there, you got to imagine the players union and, you know, the leagues will find some type of a solution. As for college football, by the way, the big conferences, most of the big conferences all spoke to Vice President Mike Pence. And I want to read off a quote from Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby, who was on the call. He said, "Our players are students. If we're not in college, we're not having contests. Our message was we need to get universities and colleges back open, that we're an educated-based program, and we weren't going to have sports until we had something closer to normal college going on." In a nutshell, this is actually an interesting stance from college football perspective. They're pretty much saying, look, we'll have college football, but the students better be in college. That's the only way that we're going to have college football, or this is kind of their initial thoughts on it. So that's different from the NBA. That's different from Major League Baseball. And this is also different too. And I'm not one to walk around and promote the NCAA as this unbelievable, thoughtful, caring nonprofit organization. No, there's an incredible amount of money that's being made. And I think there's an incredible, it's unfair for a lot of players that aren't a part of all that revenue that comes in because of them in college football, because of them in basketball or soccer or baseball, some of these main sports. But their stance, you know, I'll be curious to see what college football ends up doing. We have all these other sports right there in front of us that we pay attention to. College football is a little bit further down the road, and NFL is a little bit further down the road. But there's another, I guess you can say, development that we'll keep an eye on and see what happens in the college football ranks. So I've had Russell Baxter on before, Pro Football Guru. I've got a ton of questions for him coming up on this NFL draft. And I'm going to shift gears here to the NFL. So NFL draft is a week from tomorrow is when it starts. Chargers have the number 6 pick in the draft. The Rams, after they traded Brandon Cook, they have, what is there? I think number 57 overall is what they have in this year's draft. At least that's their first pick in the second round. So we'll get his thoughts on what both franchises should be doing. And also I'm curious to know if he thinks this format, this virtual draft that the NFL is a part of, if it's going to have some success, or should this have been something that had been delayed, or did the NFL play this perfectly? They, in a sense, from a timing perspective, have not lost any games. They did NFL free agency the exact date that they wanted to do it. They're going to do the NFL draft the exact date that they want to do it. Did the NFL just get fortunate? So I'll bring on Russell Baxter coming up next, Pro Football Guru, to talk about that. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Russell Baxter, Pro Football Guru, joining the show right now. Russell, thanks for taking some time and joining the Sliwa Show. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you, sir?
Doing okay. Doing all right. I think this has been, you know, an interesting time for everybody. So, you know, we're doing our best to, and I think, you know, everybody's under circumstances where you just kind of take it for what it is, try to be smart, try to listen to what the CDC says and try to be as smart as possible. What else can you do?
Well, I mean, listen, we're all adaptable. And, mm-hmm. You know, we're in an era now, I'll just speak for our profession. Can you imagine trying to do what we're doing right now 10 years ago? You know, people doing radio shows out of their basement, out of their homes, you know, Skype, Zoom, all the different technology we have, which not only is an asset to the sports media, it's been an asset to the medical profession, you know, on-air visits with your doctors and all of that. So, you know, anytime you think it's bad, it could be worse. But, you know, people as a whole, do learn to adapt. And, you know, it's just unfortunate. It's unprecedented. And you just make out the best you can.
You know, I think there's something to that, what you just mentioned. One of the positives that could come out of this whole, you know, obviously this whole mess just around the world with COVID-19, the ability, like you just mentioned, to just find ways to keep going, and whether that's from a work perspective that you're figuring out ways to do it at home, or a lot of people are spending a lot more time with their family. I'm not saying this is an ideal situation, but I do think that maybe when we do come out of this, the ability to get a lot more stuff done where you don't have to be on the road in LA for an hour and a half or hour or whatever the case is, that you can kind of find other ways to get the job done, to get your work done. And I know that's a small thing, but maybe that's something that's could be beneficial when we look back at all this and say, okay, well, our lives have changed. Maybe they don't go back to exactly the way they were, but there's always something to learn from it. So,
I think every enormous tragedy that has happened in the world, something has come out of it, inciting change. Okay, be it safety, be it medical, and all that. And, you know, it sounds like I'm quoting something irrelevant, but it's a great line in Jurassic Park, which has nothing to do with what we're talking about now, but you'll remember what Jeff Goldblum says, life finds a way. People are finding a way. Mm-hmm. And it's inconvenient. And if the worst thing you have to deal with is inconvenience, then that's not so bad.
Of course. No one will argue that. So, Russ, I obviously I brought you on. We got the NFL draft coming up a week from tomorrow. Let's just start with this. How do you think it will go? Just in general, the way they're doing it, this is a virtual draft. How prepared do you think the NFL is, or is a lot of this nobody's really prepared for what can happen tomorrow, so you just got to do the best you can?
Right. It's going to, you know, there will be a glitch or two. There'll be a curveball or two. You know, just like they would if, you know, if it was business as usual. And remember, business as usual for the NFL draft has changed over the years. My first draft that I ever attended was 1988. It was still in New York. It was at the Marriott Marquis Ballroom. Andre Bruce was the number one overall pick. Attendance by fans, roughly 300. They were set in the upper rafters. ESPN was in about its sixth or seventh year of covering the draft. The draft, by the way, was on a Tuesday. It was not a weekend event.
Mm-hmm.
So as we have seen over the years, the NFL has adapted with technology. It has evolved. And, you know, I think they were kind of ahead of the curve in terms of getting prepared for this. And in some ways, it, as odd as it sounds, the fact that the NFL every year does a supplemental draft in the summer, which doesn't involve the fanfare and a TV show and all the different things, you know, helps them out a little in this regard. Now, this is a massive undertaking, no doubt about it. But and listen, there's going to be something that, you know, goes wrong. It's only inevitable when you're trying to link all these different things together. And now, you know, there's talk, what, close to 60 players who will be in part of the virtual draft as well. You know, the NFL is the one major sport that has not been had its playing time affected, not yet. And I think they've done a great job keeping people interested in their product and almost interested in sports. And you know, and we always talk about sports being a distraction and so on. And for a lot of people, it is. For a lot of people, it's obviously their livelihood as well. But I would expect there'll be something interesting that happens long ago. You know, what's funny over the years, when the draft has taken place under normal circumstances, you know, we've seen team, you know, you go back, you know, earlier this century, the Minnesota Vikings passed in the first round. And then the picks just came cascading in and so on. We see stuff like that when circumstances are normal. And I'm not going to be surprised if there's a, for lack of a better word, a clock violation or something like that.
Sure.
So, but it'll be interesting to see. What I think will be really interesting to see, to be honest with you, will be Saturday, more so Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, that's true, too.
Round. Thursday is one round. You have extra time when it comes to the picks and so on. Then things start to come a little faster and a little more frantic.
Russell Baxter, pro football guru, joining the Sliwa show here. And you mentioned something, NFL, they really have been kind of fortunate as far as the timing goes.
Mm-hmm.
None of this, again, every time, and I like to emphasize this on the show, we're just talking about sports. Of course, sports is secondary with everything going on in the world. But from a sports perspective, Major League Baseball didn't get a chance to start. NBA, use the Lakers as an example. We're out here in L.A. They're 63 games in. We're not sure if they're going to crown a champ or not. Where the NFL has all these events. NFL draft, they were able to do it. NFL free agency, they were able to really kind of dominate the headlines for a couple weeks. And it's not like you had to get everybody together. The NFL draft, they're finding a way to do this where everybody's not together. But I want to hit on this. Looking at things from a local perspective, I want to get real quick to the Rams. This is kind of a two-part question here. What do you think of the Cook trade? And to have a number 57 pick in this year's draft, do you think they use that pick to go grab a wide receiver to replace Cook? Or do you think there's another position that's more of need for them?
I think they really need to work on that defense. Even the year they got to the Super Bowl, and I know the star power that they had on defense, you know, Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters and Dominican Sue, Dante Fowler, you know, the inner pieces that they had for that 2 year span and so on, even in 2017, so on. But, you know, they lost Corey Littleton to the Raiders, which I think was a big blow, very productive player. And again, Wade Phillips, great reputation, 2015 Broncos, one of the better defenses in the last 20 years. But you never got the sense that the Rams defense was as good as its star power. Even in the year, the 2 years they made the playoffs back to back, they were porous against the run. It was as if teams used their own aggressiveness against them. So I think there needs to be a little bit of a major overhaul. I believe the Rams have 2 twos and 2 threes. Mm-hmm. And whether they want to package up there, I think you can get wide receivers in this draft in a variety of different rounds and so on. But I think they need some star playmakers. They need some run stoppers. They need to be a solid defensive unit because they can't go through another year that they just had with Jared Goff where he got the turnover bug. And that turnover bug, as you will remember, kind of started late in 2018. And even though they made it to the Super Bowl, he was spotty, even in the playoffs.
Russell, last question. Russell Baxter, Pro Football Guru, joining the Sliwa Show. Is it too early to say which L.A. team you think will have more success this year?
It probably is. I'm not a prediction guy until August because you never know what is exactly going to happen. I think I feel better about the Chargers. Even though the Chargers are coming off 5-11, the Rams are coming off 9-7. The Rams, the Chargers look like a team with a bump in the road. The Rams look like a team that cashed in all their chips for 2 years and now seem to be, there are a lot of salary cap issues, unloading players. By the way, does anybody know what Brandon Cooks did to anybody to keep on getting traded? He's had 1,000-yard seasons with different franchises. He never gets cut. He just gets traded. So, it's fascinating. He's
Don't worry. He got his 5-year 81. Don't worry.
No. I'm not concerned about him. It's just funny.
No, it's true.
There's one thing where guys get dealt every once in a while. So it's funny. Tom Brady spent 20 years with the Patriots. He finally got to go where he wanted to go, and obviously they weren't ever going to trade him. Anquan Bolden, you remember Anquan Bolden? He was another guy who didn't catch free agency until I was like 14 or 15 years because he got dealt a couple of times. But Brandon Cooks is around for like 1 or 2 years with the team, and then he's gone. So it's just kind of funny. But to answer your question, I like the talent base of the Chargers more. I know Rivers is gone, and I understand and all that, and I know Gordon's gone, but again, the Trey Turner deal, I think Hunter Henry is a tremendous asset. They've got those frontline people. I think the Lindell Joseph pickup, veteran up the middle to help their run defense, was a great free agent addition. You got Boza. You got Melvin Ingram. I just think you have a team that's built a little better than the Rams right now. And the Rams, I think they're scurrying for players because they've wound up letting a lot of guys go.
Hmm. Russell, great stuff, man. I'd love to have you back on once the NFL draft is all done and complete, and would love your insight on just how the local teams did and any surprises in the draft or anything along those lines. So let's definitely set that up afterwards. Appreciate you taking some time to join the show.
My pleasure, sir.
All right, Russell Baxter right there. When we come back, let's do this. I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear Kyle Kuzma on First Take. So Kuz was on. Talking, obviously, Los Angeles Lakers basketball, was asked a question about how do you think you guys matched up against the Clippers, and if we keep going here at some point, how will that matchup look like? So a lot of great stuff from Kyle Kuzma. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. So a little bit later in the show, I got to figure out what happened here. Sitting on Twitter, minding my own business before a crosstalk with Mason and Ireland. And I see that there's some of the Sliwa Show logos, and it becomes a whole story. And I'm looking at, I'm like, what the hell is this? Mason gets the Sliwa logo before Sliwa? I guess the answer to that question is yes, he does get it. So I got to, Jess, Curtis, there's a lot of background to, actually there isn't that much background, but there's enough background that during halftime, I kind of want to get into this. I want to kind of explain what's going on with the Sliwa Show logo. They have their thoughts. Yeah, they have their own thoughts. Which, by the way, is just freaking hilarious to me. It's impossible for this show to get more publicity than what Mason and Ireland do for Crosstalk and the way they just run with some of their stuff. It's freaking hilarious.
This show is Mason's brainchild.
Yeah, it is. I feel like this is like a branch of one of Mason's LLCs.
This is just somehow, Mason has to be, you know, in his hands and everything.
It's freaking hilarious.
So, something, whether he magically left himself up and on to the segment, you know.
But by the way, how great is that? His mic is on in the background and he doesn't know his mic is on until his dog, until he says something to his dog. Mace just kills me, man. Mace kills me. Like he always says, he says after 420, he's a different person. You can use your own judgment and mind of why that would be. Okay, so Kuz, we had Kuz on. Kuz was on First Take with Kellerman, with Molly Karam, with Max Kellerman. And this is the one thing I was curious about in this conversation with Kuz. First of all, just curious how he's doing. You know that he probably is in touch with a lot of the Lakers players on the roster, which, by the way, like I said, just to start off the show, in the background right now, Game 7, Los Angeles Lakers versus the Boston Celtics. So they're replaying that game right now. You know, I feel like I've seen this game so many times, but when I'm watching it, I don't know if I remember all the details. It was such a stressful game, and you could just see how tense everybody is. Everybody's standing up at the game. You don't even really feel like anybody's smiling. Everybody's just scared out of their mind. I was the exact same way. I was the exact same way, just at this game, thinking if the Lakers lost their second finals in a row with Kobe Bryant to the Celtics, it would have just been awful. Boston's up 31-29 right now, second quarter. I'll keep you guys posted. Keep you posted. All right, Kuz, let's start off with this. Did Kyle Kuzma view the Lakers as the clear favorites before the season was put on hold?
You know, I think we were just chopping wood. You know, we were hitting our stride. That's kind of the best thing I can kind of say. Obviously, having a big weekend right before we took a little plunker to the Nets, beat Milwaukee and Clippers. You know, we were just finding our groove as a team, really gelling and, you know, just getting ready for the playoffs. And I like where we were at that point. So
I think everybody, and I know for me, just getting a chance to do the pregame show and the postgame show, I was so hyped up about the Los Angeles Lakers after those two wins to the Clippers and the Bucks. Everybody was. You know, you walked away from that weekend. Lakers played the Clippers on a Sunday. They played the Bucks on a Friday. You're going to tell me on Sunday night, it was a day game against the Clippers, you're going to tell me on Sunday night every Los Angeles Lakers fan wasn't walking around with their chest out that nobody's going to beat the Los Angeles Lakers and we're going to tie the Boston Celtics for 17 NBA championships? Everybody thought that. And, you know, for Kuz to say that they felt good to where they were at, everything's going to obviously have to stop now in regards to all this time off. And we'll see if the season gets played out, if it does get played out, what that season would look like. Here's Kuz on if the time off has any effect on the Lakers more than the rest of the league just because you got some aged players or it's all equal.
I think it obviously takes a toll on the entire league. Obviously, some more than others. You know, for the love of the game and what we kind of play for and what our ambitions were. You know, it kind of bummed us because we knew where we were kind of headed and what direction we were going as a team. But you know, I think it hurts the entire NBA. You know, obviously, you know, money for the league and for us. You know, we want to play and. You know, just do what we love. So I think that, you know, all parties are kind of affected by it.
All right. So Kuz, this is what's always been interesting with talking about Kuz. I've had a very firm stance on Kuz that he has been talked about as the third best player on this Lakers team. And, you know, maybe walking into the offseason, a lot of people thought that, but I thought as the season progressed, that wasn't the case. And I didn't blame it on Kuz. I just would always have the stance that Kuz only knows so much at this stage of his career. Kyle Kuzma is not one of those players that, you know, you can look at and say, remember when Kuz did this in the postseason? Kuz has 10 years under his belt or something along those lines. He's not. He's not a veteran. It's his third year in the NBA. And he's been put in a position to play with Anthony Davis and with LeBron James. And a lot of it is a complete learning experience. And frankly, for me, I've always said there's a question mark around Kuz because we don't have enough of a sample size to say, look what Kuz has done in the postseason. I know exactly what he's going to do in this type of situation or this predicament, which is actually why I thought the Lakers getting Markieff Morris at that, at the buyout, was so big for the Lakers, because now it wasn't just on Kyle Kuzma. But here's Kuz talking about what he's learning behind AD and LeBron. And I think from a mentality perspective, he definitely has the right mentality on this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, for me, it's all about just trying to add and win to championship basketball, you know, something different than, you know, I've really had in my young career. I think that over the first 2 years, it's kind of just that development, get in, you know, try to get your feet in, and then you jump into a situation where the only thing that matters is winning and, you know, trying to just build championship habits. And I think this year I got a taste of that, really, you know, kind of develop that that mentality. You know, obviously playing, you know, behind Anthony Davis and LeBron James, you know, for me as a young player, it could have been a little bit different, you know, for me, you know, young players, they want to, you know, continue to put their name in, develop, you know, have these high accolades. But for me, I got a chance to have a back seat to the best two players in the NBA and really learn from them and see what they do on a daily basis and how they approach it. You know, for me, I think, you know, this whole experience this past season has really, you know, boded well for my career. So
I jumped in. I cut off Kuzma in a recorded interview. I cut him off in an interview he has with Kellerman and Stephen A. I want to stay on that for a quick second. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. By the way, any topic you guys want to hit on, I know I brought Dr. Fauci up a little bit earlier, and I mentioned how optimistic I was, or how much more optimistic I am about sports because Dr. Fauci had a comment. But I want to stay on this Kyle Kuzma thing when we come back. 877-710-ESPN on how playing behind Anthony Davis and LeBron James is so big for Kuz. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.